was recap some of the more fun things that came out of CES. So CES brought typically thinner, more powerful. TVs were thinner, computers were thinner, more powerful, more lightweight. Don't we wish that we all worked that way, you know, with January, because we all packed on a few extra pounds from the holidays, myself included. So, but unfortunately, we don't work that way. But let's talk a little bit about some of the more exciting things that came out of CES. Let's talk phones first. One of the trends a little bit last year, even more so this year, was what we call the flexi phone. These are the phones that kind of curve a little bit to fit your face. I think the goal here is to get those phones to be more more like the regular phones, you know, regular phone handsets that we might have used. So LG took their last year's flexi phone, because they had a flexi phone last year. They made it a little bit more practical. They shrunk the screen down to about 5.5 inches. They also made that screen a little brighter and sharper. It's called the G Flex 2. It's going to be carried by Sprint. So if you're a Sprint customer, you can take a look at it. It's also one of the first phones to use the Qualcomm's new Snapdragon 810 processor, which right now is the leading smartphone processor. So again, if you're a Sprint customer and you're up for, you know, getting an upgrade on your phone, take a look at the G Flex 2. It might just be one that excites you with its comfort level, especially at that size, at 5.5 inches. You know, that's a little bit big, but if you think about a little curvingness, might be a little bit more comfortable to the hand and to hold against your, you know, against your face. So that's one trend. Another trend, you know, selfies, huge trend. Everybody's taking selfies, right? This Christmas, we talked about in our December show for Christmas gifts, or our November show rather, you know, things for, you know, Christmas, we talked about the selfie stick. Well, now we have the selfie flash. A lot of people who take selfies know that if the conditions are a little bit dark, even adding your smartphone's flash may not necessarily brighten up the image enough to make that selfie, you know, look presentable. Well, Lenovo is solving that with the Lenovo Vibe Extension Selfie Flash. So this is a flash that snaps onto your smartphone. No limitation of brands or anything. It's kind of a ring. It uses LED lights, so it snaps onto the smartphone and it gives just enough light to help prevent those blurry selfie photos. It's the best thing since the selfie stick. Sells for $30. So again, if you're into selfies, take a look at it. You know, it might even be advantageous to taking regular phones, because, you know, a lot of people now, their smartphone is their camera, so this might add that additional level of flash to make those smartphone, not just your selfies, but regular smartphone pictures, might add a little bit more to those, especially in, you know, dark circumstances. So take a look at that. Another big trend that we saw on the CES floor in Las Vegas, a lot of more activewear, and the combining activewear with smart watches, you know, taking that technology, converging the two. So I'm going to highlight two of them that I thought were a little bit more interesting. The first one is, again, from Lenovo. It's the Lenovo Vibe Band. Part of the reason why I liked it is it has great battery life. It will work for about a week without a recharge. The price point is also pretty good. It's $89. It's a digital watch. Looks a little, you know, a little bit more, I don't want to say flashy, but a little bit more professional than some of the digital watches that are out there. It displays not only your time and the date, but it'll also display some functions of your activity levels, in that it'll display the distance you walked, as well as the calories you burned. But you'll also get a little weather icon. So, you know, little rain cloud if it's raining, snowflakes if it's snowing, sunshine if it, you know, if it's sunshiny, or we can just go outside and if we go burr, we know that it's cold out, right? Especially this time of year. The other smartwatch that I thought was kind of cool is comes from Garmin. Garmin is really, really popular and famous for their GPS. And so obviously the Garmin Vivo Active includes all of the above that the Vibe Band, but now it also builds in GPS, so you know exactly where you are when you're walking, which I think this is going to be kind of a cool thing for those who, you know, participate in the treasure hunt kinds of things. So it has your built-in GPS. It also has a heart rate monitor, and it includes smart notifications for your Android and your iOS phones. So again, it's that combining of that smartwatch and that active wear, which makes perfect sense from a technology convergence thing. The challenge or the downside of the Garmin Vivo Active is the price point is at $249, but when you think of all that you're getting, may not be a bad thing, you know, especially if you're looking, again, for that Christmas or that birthday gift for that techno geek in your life. This one comes from the health side, and this one is really exciting. Now, keep in mind that it's just a prototype right now. It, because it's health-oriented, it has to clear through the FDA. But this is kind of exciting, especially for mothers, nurses, hospitals. This is called the Temp Track, T-R-A-Q. It's by Blue Spark Technologies. It's a thermometer for babies, but it's in the form of a bandage or a patch, if you will. You place it under the baby's arm. It's a Bluetooth-connected sensor, and it'll track your child's temperature continuously with alerts that are available on your smartphone. So if you have a situation where you have maybe a child that is running a temperature and you want to know when that temperature is coming down, it'll give a historic record. It'll let doctors, both parents and doctors, spot those changes real time, as opposed to having to go in and, you know, take the baby's temperature every half hour or every hour. So I think this is going to be really, really cool, not just for parents, but you can see it see its use, how it'll apply in hospitals as well. So very, very, very kind of exciting thing. But as I said, it's got to clear FDA hurdles. If you go to their website, just Google Temp Track. Again, it's T-R-A-Q. They've got an FAQ because they will talk about the privacy issues. Bluetooth as a technology is very short range, so you don't necessarily have to be concerned about, you know, somebody hacking in and seeing your baby's temperature. It doesn't have a whole lot of patient information in there, so those kinds of privacy concerns are addressed on their FAQ page. Again, prototype, got to clear the FDA, but I think this is going to be a really, really neat thing for taking baby temperatures. So, again, trend with tablets. We always have to talk about tablets because when you go to CES, there's walls and walls, tables and tables, display upon display of what's new in tablets. I mentioned earlier, thinner and lighter, big, big thing. We want to get that tablet to where, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if at some point we see a tablet that's the thinness and lightness of a piece of paper. Haven't got there yet, but we're getting really, really close. One of the really cool tablets, at least I thought it was kind of cool, it doesn't seem like anything it's that exciting. It's the new Lenovo Yoga tablet. It's an 8-inch Windows tablet. But I think what's really kind of cool about this particular one is it has what's called AnyPen technology. A lot of the tablets that we see that use some kind of a pen or an active stylus, that active stylus goes with that particular computer. In other words, it's got to be active stylus enabled. There's two or three leaders in the active stylus community. We've talked about that before. N-Trig being one of those, and a number of years ago or a number of shows ago, we even had a couple of representatives from N-Trig talking about theirs. But this one, this AnyPen, works with any pen, meaning you can take a graphite pencil or a metal point pen larger than 1 millimeter, and it'll, because this particular tablet has a scratch-resistant touchscreen, then you can take that pen or that graphite pencil and you can use it with that particular thing. So where does it work? I mean, I don't know if you necessarily want to use it for complete note-taking, but if you had to sign a document real quickly, you know, think of your UPSs or even your boss, you know, has got to sign this document. Here you go. You don't have your active stylus. You don't need an active stylus. Just sign it with your ballpoint pen. So kind of a neat little feature if you're in a bind for that. So that's one of the neat trends I saw in tablets. Here's a couple. These two go together, okay? Big trend we saw last year, even the previous year, was in 3D printing. 3D printing continues to get hot. So the first one I want to talk about, it's a hybrid desktop. This is out of HP. It's called the HP Sprout. So it's a what's called an immersive workstation. So it brings kind of an all-in-one kind of a flavor in there, in that it's a touch smart PC, so it's an all-in-one PC, but it combines it with a projector, a scanner, and a camera. And the scanner is not just a 1D scanner, but it's also a 3D scanner. So if you think about that, so you can combine it with a printout, and again, it's got that projector built in. So it's going to take, you know, like thinking about our classrooms right now, we have a document projector, and then we have the computer. So we're going to take all of that and combine it into one device. Price point on that is about $1,900. But now let's take the fact that it does 3D scanning, okay, which will then build your 3D printout for your 3D printer. That, to me, is really kind of cool. Now, if we can couple it with an inexpensive 3D printer, because right now 3D printers are still kind of in that $1,000 and up range, well, now we've got a consumer-level 3D printer that's coming. And this is the XYZ Printing. So the company is XYZ Printing. It's their DaVinci Junior. So it's a consumer-level 3D printer expected to list out at $349. Release date is expected in May. Okay. It's what's kind of nice about this is they took the consumer in mind when they built this. So the ease of use is there. It's calibration free, because that's one of the big issues with 3D printing, is you've got to make sure that they're calibrated properly so that that extrusion of whatever material you're using, so that extrusion comes out. So there's a lot of leveling factors in the commercial 3D printers. So this one is calibration free, okay? It's also, the filament cartridges are very, very easy to replace. Right now, it's the filament that they're using is plastic, which actually brings in also another level of inexpensiveness, because the metal materials, the metal-based filaments, get a little bit more pricey. It has an SD card slot that allows you to print directly from an SD card, so there's no computer required. So it's a great, I think this is a great advantage for bringing in inexpensively 3D printing into the classroom, libraries, community centers. So this is kind of cool. It excites me because it's the, you know, one of those first consumer level 3D printing that we're seeing. Now, 3D printing is exciting in and of itself, but now we can bring it into the households. And if you combine it with the HP Sprout, you know, because that's one of the other drawbacks about 3D printing is you need to have that 3D scanner or somebody that's, you know, got some skill set with, you know, CAD programming to program in that 3D plan. But now we're, you know, now we've simplified it even more. I think it's going to bring arts and craftsness into a whole new level. It's kind of exciting, you know, when you think about like a 3 mile fair and the, you know, craft tables that are out there. It use your imagination and think about where you can put this into use. Only thing I'm concerned about is with this, since it is a consumer level, what's going to be the life of this? In other words, how many 3D prints can you do in a given month, you know, with the filament cartridges? How many are you going to be able to print at that, you know, at that? So it'll be interesting to see. Okay, it's not available until May, so we'll have to come back once it's out there on the market and see what some of the consumer reviews are. You know, how did it work? You know, how did it last? How long did it last? But at $350, it's bringing 3D printing home. So, again, in that 3D printing area, you know, as I said, this is 3D printing. You know, we knew that it was going to be a big thing, a big technology, a big emerging technology, and was just going to get better and better and better. So one of the other big things that we saw at CES was in the area of the materials for the 3D printers. Currently with the 3D printers, we do have metal, 3D printing with metal, but it's just a single metal kind of a thing. In other words, there's not amalgamations available. And of course, plastic. Plastic has been around for, you know, quite a while. So now we've got another venture with respect to the 3D materials. MakerBot, okay? High prices yet, okay? So, but MakerBot is a manufacturer of the materials. They've made the technology as user-friendly as they can, but now the next direction that MakerBot is going into is in the filaments or the materials that are being used in the 3D printing. So MakerBot displayed at CES combinations of and these are blends with plastic, but they took these new filaments. They've got maple wood, so they're combining wood with plastic, and the wood even actually had a maple smell. So they've got maple wood, limestone, you know, so we're getting into kind of those quarry sculpting, if you will, and iron. And what's kind of cool about the iron is it can be magnetized. So think about refrigerator magnets. So now we can, you know, make our own refrigerator magnets. You know, we're taking, you know, because that's a big thing too. You know, so now we can bring in that with that iron, with being able to combine that iron, you know, we've got refrigerator magnets and bronze, which is another kind of thing. The bronze itself can be polished, so it's got a nice shine. So, you know, with this, again, we're making that statues, that making of those statues even easier. Now, here's my big thought on all of this. When we think about the 3D printers and this new direction with materials, is this going to make counterfeiting of art objects easier? Anybody that watches the Antiques Roadshow, occasionally you'll see somebody who'll bring in their antique that, you know, they were so excited about and they bought it and everything, only to get that disappointing news that what they bought was a counterfeit. Does this take this to a whole new level now? And are we going to start seeing, think of some of the more famous sculptors, and one of the ones that always comes to mind with me is Remington, because Remington was a big sculptor of Western art, and being that that's where I came from originally, was out west, I saw lots and lots of Remingtons in my time. So are we going to be able to start doing that now? 3D printing is awesome. You know, the idea of 3D printing, we mentioned a few shows ago where the Smithsonian was taking some of their artifacts and some of their fossils, and they were scanning them, and they were making those plans available to schools so schools could then, you know, take those into their 3D printers if they had a 3D printer available. And it brings that, you know, science-ness or that archaeology into the classroom so that students could actually feel the fossils or feel those artifacts or see them without having to travel all the way to Washington, D.C. to the Smithsonian itself. Or, you know, it even brought more realism. You can go on to the Smithsonian website and you can see all of these things, but it brought it, you know, touch and feel is always more exciting than just seeing something on a computer screen. But it does. But 3D printing does bring with it a host of other concerns and counterfeitness, especially when we start getting into some of these new filaments. You know, like the, you know, like the bronze and like the, you know, the limestone. It does, you know, bring in some more, you know, questionable things. So we'll have to watch that direction that goes, you know, once MakerBot brings that more into reality, and we see that in the marketplace. So some of those things with 3D printing. Another trend, again, talked about, you know, small, and we knew this was going to be coming, portable solid-state drives. So we've talked about, Dave and I have talked about in the past, portable hard drives and, you know, how you can go out to your local Best Buy if you need portable storage. You know, price points kept coming down. You could pick up a regular hard drive, terabyte portable drive. I think the last time I looked, it was about $50, $60. Well, now we're getting these solid-state drives. Now, The beauty of solid state is it's so much faster, okay? So much faster than a regular spindle drive, speed-wise, gathering-wise. But solid state drives have been let's just face it, they're pricier than a regular spindle drive. They're faster, they're lighter as well, and power-wise, their power usage is also a bit more economical. But now we're going into Samsung is now taking that solid state drive into the portable arena. So they're the capacities that are available, they've got a 250 gigabyte, 500, and a 1 terabyte. Prices range from $179, that's for the 250, to $600 for the 1 terabyte. That's a little on the pricey side, but if you've got a lot of data now, I'm going to back up a second, okay? Portableness, we had, you know, way, way, way back in my day, I'm aging myself here, we had floppy disks. Did not hold a whole heck of a lot, but we didn't have a whole lot to carry. Then we got the USB flash drives, and that was revolutionary. And now you can get, you know, USB flash drives in the 32 gig range, 64 gig too. Very inexpensive for carrying things back and forth. We also have the cloud. between Dropbox and Microsoft's, I think it's OneDrive. Everybody's got cloud storage, so we don't have to worry about carrying data. But the thing with the cloud is we have a privacy concern. So if you still feel more comfortable carrying your data back and forth, or even just for backups, you know, so here's another alternative for that portable storage is in your solid state drives. And the transfer rates, phenomenal. Up to 450 megabytes per second. And I know for some of you that's like, okay, well, what does that mean? But believe me, it's lightning fast. And it supports USB 3.0. So this makes backing up so much quicker now. You know, if you've ever backed up your computer, right, you know, I mean, I know with my computer at home, it takes between 5 and 8 hours to do a backup. So yeah, I set it up at night, go to sleep, wake up in the morning, and it's done. Now, you know, we're talking about backing up a standard, you know, computer in maybe a couple of hours with one of these solid states. So this is really kind of cool with solid state drives going into the direction of portability. So a couple more smart things while we still have a few minutes. Smart projectors. These are projectors that are tied to your cell phone. Okay, so these are not smart projectors that use Wi-Fi or a PC. These use cell phone networks. Sprint last year, the company is ZTE. Sprint last year had the Live Pro. Now they're bringing it to AT&T. No price yet, but it should be available in early 2015. What's cool about this is it doesn't rely on a computer or having Wi-Fi. It's off your cell service. And I think this is another thing that we're going to have to spend, Dave and I are going to have to spend a show on, you know, talking about the whole cell broadband versus Wi-Fi and where that's going. Another product out of HP, virtual reality. This is the ZVR. It attaches to your computer screen. Google this. It's really kind of cool. It's still prototype, but it's really kind of cool, and it brings 3D virtual reality, and it's getting to that hologram. We're getting to holograms, folks. I mean, we really are with this. So that's kind of cool. And then, of course, last but not least is drones. We had a couple of manufacturers of drones. Still a little price prohibitive. The one that I saw that was the more affordable is the AirDog. It uses the GoPro camera, and it can be set to follow you wherever you go. Pre-order price right now is $1,300. It's I think this is going to be kind of a cool one. And again, this is drones is another thing that we're going to have to dedicate a show to at a certain point. Last but not least, let's not forget your dog. Take a look at the Motorola Scout 5000 and the Motorola Scout 3500. These are collars that are made for your dog that you can literally watch the world from your dog's point of view. It's also got some voice ability there, so you can see what your dog is doing, and you can talk to your dog if your dog gets a little lonely, so you can, you know, keep your dog company while you're at work. But that's another cool thing. So that's CES 2015. Lot more than that, but these were some of the more cooler things that I saw and worth taking a look at. And like I said, we'll expand on, you know, a couple of the items in future shows because they really do need a little bit more than half an hour. But thanks for listening, and we'll see you next month, everybody. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Technology Matters with hosts Christine Lazzaro and Dave Snedeker.
This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by John Nicholson, a retired Racine Unified Administrator, Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the Teacher Education Faculty at UW Parkside, Karen Sconser, an Associate Professor of Education.